Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine, December 13th, questions on by Monday. And remember to send your questions to either askcatherine@thelear.com or post at subscriber input. This is the last Ask Catherine of the year. It's been a fascinating year. I just recorded something called Reflections. It's an 8-minute video about sort of my thoughts of the road ahead and the sort of what we did this year, where we are, and a report to the network as it will. And we will publish that probably on Monday and send it out. So make sure you watch that. And I won't repeat that here. But if you haven't checked out our holiday greeting and all the great donations or my recommendation for Christmas gifts, I hope you check it out. It's right on the homepage. Anyway, so thank you for a great year, and I look forward to a wonderful holiday season. It's been a great December. Let's just dive in. We have a tremendous number of questions, so I'm going to speak quickly. We have a lot of questions in cash and precious metals about how to handle your investments and sort of allocation of resources. Let me just say on all of these, and I'm not going to repeat it, please listen to the last three equity overviews, explore those links, and listen to the equity overview I'm going to do in January. I'm going to talk again about how to think about allocation of resources in this environment. We're in a war, and somebody's trying to kill us and steal all our stuff. And how you think about investment in a war is different than when you think there's a way to get on and stay in the middle of the road. Middle of the road is going away. And so, you know, think about how you preserve your assets through wartime. Anyway, so I don't want to repeat that again, but please check out all the different equity overviews. We do one quarterly, and it's all designed to address these issues. Okay, let's dive in. Catherine, I would like to share my gratitude. So a lot of you have said some wonderful and very kind things. And in the interest of speed, I'm going to dive into the question. You're talking about starting a website that's kind of like a Grubhub for local farms. I think it's a fabulous idea. And I would encourage you to look at hofweb.nl, which is the one we use here in the Netherlands. And it's a great example of how to do that. You're going to need to design it so that if you need be, you can operate it outside of the existing payment system. So think about how you can do that. And do it sort of in a parallel transaction economy if you need to do it. You said you hadn't started a business before. I sent you some links to some of the things in the library on entrepreneurship. There's one on venture capital for the rest of us, and also some things on how to start a business. The greatest indicator of whether a new business is going to succeed is the people who started it have done it before. So you might want to check out getting a partner or an accountant or somebody who's has a lot of experience in starting businesses, and that I think can save you a lot of time and money. Okay, and now a question about where you live. You're looking for a new place to go. Here's the reality. Your guess is as good as mine. Where are people going to fight the hardest and longest? The reality is the thing we're dealing with is everywhere. If we don't succeed, then everywhere is not going to be safe. And so if we lose the war, the question is who will hold out the longest? If we win the war, then you will want to have been in the place where you can make the most effective stand and fight. There clearly seem to be countries that are better than others, but your guess is good as mine as to which they are. You want to be with people, you know, you want to be with a community. So part of it is who do you want to be with? I always feel like, you know, this is a spiritual issue, and if I'm serving my purpose, you know, I'll be protected. And if I'm not, but I expect if we lose this war, and we've got to do everything right now to not comply and to win it now, but if we lose this war, or if it takes generations, then I'm just assuming we're facing death. You know, we have to be prepared. Great line in The Gladiator, death smiles at us all a man can do is smile back. So I think it's time to smile back at death and just say no. And the question is, where do you feel most comfortable doing that? But I just don't think there's a safe place, you know, because I think this is a global push. I don't do consultations, and I used to, but the honest truth is the Salieri Report requires 100% of my time, and I also do an investment screen. Between the investment screen and the salary report, I really feel to be in integrity, I need to use all my time for those. Anyway, go back, listen to the equity overviews and see if that helps. It's funny, you talk about off-the-grid communities. I would think, you know, if I had to guess where the best were going to be, it would be the campesinos down in South America and some rural Russian Orthodox Christian community someplace in rural Russia might make it, particularly, you know, sort of in the southern areas. But again, this is global. Since I've read more articles of yours, let's see. Oh, you wanted to know if the Alliant Credit Union in Chicago was good. I don't know. I just don't know them. And it would take, to do a serious due diligence on a credit union like that would take quite a bit of time. So I just don't know. And Amalgamated Bank will come, all banks will come under the CBDC plan. All banks, all credit unions will come under the CBDC plan. It will be total control. So there's no such thing as a bank that will be outside. Okay, someone wants to know whether I would use the depository, the Massachusetts depository, I think it's called CT, or Texas. I think they're both excellent. There's pros and cons to each. There's risk to each. If I were you, I would want to be in the one that is closest. And I prefer Texas as a jurisdiction to Massachusetts. Massachusetts is, you know, Boston is the center of the pro-centralization team on the equity side. So I just think Texas is a better jurisdiction, or probably will be a better jurisdiction. Again, there's no way to know, but my bet would be with being the one that you're closest to and the one that's in the best jurisdiction. So I think even though the Massachusetts one is older and has more experience, I would vote for Texas. But remember, there's, you know, there are pros and cons to both, and I think both are excellent. Regarding John's report on Omarova, whose name is withdrawn, you warn about the prospect that she could be made an acting deputy and run the OCC in an acting capacity. Yeah, that's true. I think it's unlikely. I think the more likely scenario is the Martins warning that, you know, they want to keep the position basically empty so the banks can have free rein. And I think that is a concern. Then somebody had a question about the gold. Let's see. TIL, as of February 2021, the U.S. Mint had 147 million troy ounces of gold in reserve at Fort Knox, 54 at West Point, and 44 million in Denver. Do you feel that's true? I don't believe anything that the U.S. government says with respect to their finances. And at this point, I don't believe them with respect to anything that is an important or impactful policy. So I just think if you look at the number of lies we've received on the financial management and their games on national security contracts and national security confidentiality and FASB 56, there's just, you know, they've got it all set up so that they can lie every day, all day long, and take the position that that's legal under national security law. So I mean, here's the thing. How many lies does somebody have to tell? How much genocide does somebody have to commit? How much organized crime does somebody have to engage in before you'll stop taking them as credible? And that's a frightening thought, because if you look at the treasury market, you know, at this point, I just look at treasuries as paper that's been used to launder out all of our money from pension funds and retirement savings. So I don't. So no, do I trust what they say about how much gold is there? No, it's inconceivable to me that they haven't moved it into their new system or legally, you know, designated to their new system. So who knows? Hi, Catherine. I love your material, and I couldn't support your principles more. As one who has both an investment banking background and a current professional role in the cryptocurrency industry, I have to ask you about your reluctance to embrace the power of the digital asset space for good. So I agreed with Dr. Mercola that I would do a sort of discussion of Bitcoin in January. We'll record it on the 21st of January, and I'll write up some things. I have a very clear framework for crypto, and my number one goal is to make sure my subscribers are protected from losses related to crypto. And so what I've tried to do is make sure everybody knows this is speculative. When the regulators decide to move in, which they're going to start doing in 2022, you know, that actually they started in 2021, but it's going to be a much bigger move in 2022. I want to make sure that my subscribers don't get caught in the trap and don't lose a lot. So this is a highly speculative prototype-y technology. If you haven't read Tim Wu's book, The Master Switch, we're in the entrepreneurial blossoming of the technology before, wham, the hand comes down and it gets centrally controlled. So I want to make sure that if you look at all the different ways that my subscribers could lose money on cryptos, I want to make sure they're protected from that. So this is all about risk management. I absolutely do see the power of digital, the possibilities of digital technology. I used to be really excited about the possibilities of digital technology. I invented something called just-in-time money. And the challenge is that it's under a governance system that intends to create a digital concentration camp to control us all. So while I understand the potential and possibilities of digital, and you know, I can certainly empathize with your excitement about them, I know too much about the governance system. And I've seen it operate too long and too many times. And I have a pretty clear picture of where they want to go. And my number one goal is to stop them. My number one goal is not to be fair to crypto. My goal is freedom, period. End of discussion. Once upon a time, I loved the possibility and the whiz-bang things that you could do with digital technology. Sure. This is all about getting the basics right and also making sure that people don't lose their life savings in a speculative bubble that could just get popped tomorrow by these guys could bring down the crypto market, all $3 trillion plus, in a very short period of time and use it to, you know, replenish their stockpile. Anyway, you very kindly offered to do a briefing, and I would very much appreciate it because the last time I did due diligence was 2017. I'm clearly out of date on the details of the operations, but there's nothing operationally or technologically that anyone can tell me that's going to change my framework of what Mr. Global could do in this market and how devastating it could be to people who have little life savings and have put their entire life savings in this. Mama Bear wants to protect baby bears when it comes to crypto. Hi, Catherine. Merry Christmas. I want to acknowledge the magic of the Solera report. I've been thinking of buying and selling outside the system once digital banking gets underway, and I've been wondering why people can't just continue to use the currency they were using before digital banking. They can. One of the concerns is going to be inflation, which is why I tend to want to have precious metals as well as real assets, you know, bottles of vodka and brooms. Depends on if you have room to store it, but non-perishable real assets are going to be worth a lot. They're worth a lot now. Catherine, I have millions invested with UBS, and the question is, now that your husband is no longer available to handle the finances, how do you find a good advisor? I would listen again to the equity overviews, including the one I give next and in January. You're going to need to learn how to govern your investments. I would start, you said that your new credit union has an investment division. I think it's fine to talk with them, but what you need to do is get educated and figure out, okay, you know, you're the governor of the money. How do you want to organize the management? And I'll talk about that in the equity overview this time again. You know, I never like to have anything in one place. So I would tend, if you have millions, to, you know, to not think of one person managing your investments, but you might want to sort of organize it in a couple places. And I understand that takes work. Please listen to the equity overviews and take a deep breath and know that you can take responsibility to understand and organize and govern your own money. Dear Catherine, thank you for all you do. You and your husband have been self-employed. You've sold the business, and now you're going to educate yourself about how to invest your money. So I say the same thing I just said. Obviously, you're quite competent. You can figure out how to do this. And I would listen to the last three equity overviews, and I'm going to focus on how to come up with a plan for, you know, portfolio strategy for people in the situation, in your situation, in the last questioner situation. You're going to have to take a much more active role in governing your money and in this environment, because when the rule of law disintegrates, you know, any place can go bad. So you're going to have to pay attention. Hi, Catherine. Hope you had a gorgeous Thanksgiving. What a crazy week so far. Wondering your thoughts about the E-Trade Morgan Stanley merger. I trade with E-Trade and have some cash in the account, but I'm wondering if it's time to move out. There's no place to move that's going to be outside of the, you know, the pro-centralization team if you're in securities. There are jurisdictions, you know, I've always liked Switzerland for custodians slightly better than I've liked the United States, but there's no jurisdiction that is, you know, sort of on the decentralization team. And the nature of the financial system is to have the resources necessary to play this game. You know, you're going to be one of the big guys. So if you're going to do securities, you know, I have money in a mutual fund that, you know, I don't go through the big brokers. I go straight to the custodian, but it's the mutual fund I screen stocks for. So still, that's the nature of the securities industry right now. So, you know, are there places you could go, which I might think are slightly incrementally better? Yeah, but it's incremental. You're going to be in the pro-centralization team if you have a financially competent, secure custodian. Hi, I just subscribed yesterday and was reading State of Our Currency. So I've seen mention of DLTs, but not about Hashgraph. Yeah, so I should absolutely look into Hashgraph. And then you go on and say, you know, I'm using blockchain when I should be saying distributed ledger. And that Bitcoin is much more energy wasteful than other cryptos. And you're right about both of those. Those are very, very good points. I tend to refer to the home market because Bitcoin is so energy wasteful. You know, I tend to talk about, because the whole market is energy wasteful because the big 800-pound gorilla is so energy wasteful. And the processing times are a joke. So those are two excellent comments. And I appreciate being educated. You are right. I'm wondering a question about porn. How do porn tube sites monetize the visits? I've tried very hard to find an expert who's very knowledgeable about the economics of the porn industry and get them on the Slayer Report. Although I've spent many hours trying to find somebody, I haven't succeeded. So if you know of anybody, please send them my way. I think there are many different ways of monetizing the use, but I won't speculate. Clearly, Control Fire is one of them. I would love your report of how your talk went. You're doing it for a church men's group on porn addiction. I continue to try and persuade our subscribers how dangerous this stuff is and not to think of it as it's a very complex issue, but this stuff is really, really dangerous in terms of control files. And the time is coming when they suddenly throw that trap. I'd love feedback on your talk and any ideas you have on how I can help protect people from this particular risk. Hello, Catherine. Okay, so you're looking at your pension funds. You're in CalPERS and CalSTRS, and you're right. You have very little control over those, although you can communicate and ask them a lot of questions and policy questions about what they're doing and why. You have a potential as a beneficiary to influence policy. TIA, CREF, you have more control, but the cost of penalties, you know, I would be careful about, I don't know what your options are. I haven't looked at TIA, CREF for a couple of years. Make sure you look hard at the penalties. You should be able, if you can roll money out of TIA, CREF, to move it to a self-directed IRA without penalties, but I don't know the details of your situation. Guardian Life Insurance, I can't say. I'm very careful. Whenever, as an investment advisor, I recommended a life insurance product, it was one, you know, I would only recommend insurance companies or brokers with insurance companies that were the very highest ratings. Because if you look at everything going on with the lower interest rates, it's really clocking and squeezing a lot of insurance companies. So I wanted a lot of ratings. And if you look at how much you could get for a dollar on an annuity, the higher rating ones were a lot less generous. I think you're looking for a policy in the worst case, and so you have to go with the best, but I can't, without knowing the details of the policy you're underwriting Guardian, I really have no opinion. Nuveen, muni bonds depends on you're probably in mutual funds, but the muni bonds very much are hunt back and depend on the particular jurisdiction to know that's a very wide credit spread, not just in the sort of current official reality, but when you look underneath the carpet and the way these things might go, the spread gets even more wild. How bad are these entities? My experience with CalPERS was that, in my opinion, they significantly violated fiduciary obligations during the whole 1998 to 2008 period. They put significant money in treasuries and real estate when they knew that there was a housing bubble being engineered and money was being moved out of the country. So, I think if truth were to all come out compared to the laws related to protection of beneficiary, I think they engaged in a massive RICO conspiracy, which is a felony. So that's my guess. Catherine, a local bank practices fractional share banking. Okay, so this is from somebody who you don't have a clear picture of how the machinery on the bank works. First of all, it's the private banks that are members of the New York Fed, or the 12. New York Fed is one of the 12 banks. So the private banks own the stock of those individual 12 banks. It's not the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve does not own those banks. It's owned by those banks, each individual of the 12 Federal Reserve. And then the Board of Governors is a hybrid. I would say that the nuts and bolts, you're looking for a comic book on how the nuts and bolts of the banking system works. And I will talk to John Titus about, how to find such a thing. I'm sure there's something. I would be careful not to jump. It's very important. It's like a plumbing system. You don't want to jump to conclusions about a plumbing system. You want to map it out and understand before you jump to too many conclusions. Okay, then a question about bounce back loans. So you're taking loans from the UK government, and I don't know enough about your situation to know whether or not you really need that money as backup, but I would, I sent back the subsidy and didn't take a payroll protection loan. I just think all government money comes with a sock in the jaw, and you're much better off not being in those debt bases and not taking the money. Now, you're competing with people who are taking hordes of money from the government, so I understand it can put you at a disadvantage. But I just found, all of these things have hidden conditions and come with an energy, and if you can avoid it, I would stay away. Then somewhere in your site, something about why you shouldn't ever buy with Amazon. I don't remember what that was. I try and avoid Amazon, but I still occasionally buy from them only because, there's situations where that's the only place you can get it, and I'm trying to do something for somebody. So Kennedy wanted everybody to go to Amazon and buy the Fauci book to get it up on the bestseller list. And as I said to him, only for you would I do this, so. That's an example of an exception, but I try to avoid Amazon as much as possible. Jeff Snyder and David Rosenberg are still stuck on the long-term deflation hypothesis. If you want to hear a good discussion of sort of inflation versus deflation, listen to my old interview. I think it's in the library now with Rob Kirby about inflation versus deflation. I think we're in quite a ride in terms of inflation. And I think we've been there for 10 years. If you look at the cost of household goods in the United States and many places in the world, the official CPI is a joke. But I think, it's going to be, you're talking about the middle class having higher and higher expenses and lower income. It's an engineered squeeze. And so if you're in the middle class, you're in a long-term deflation. If you're in the upper classes and you're receiving the printed money, you're in a very different scenario, much more like inflation. So I just think they're looking at these things through an old model. Now, the reason you can't make an intelligent projection about this is we are looking with what is happening in the great poisoning and the injections at a genocide. And there's nothing more deflationary than a huge major genocide. And so you tell me what the genocide's going to be over the next 10 years. That's a critical variable to understand before you say anything about whether or not we could get stuck in a long-term deflation. Could we get stuck in a long-term deflation? Absolutely. Could we get stuck in a long-term inflation? Absolutely. Could we get caught in a combination of both, where if you're lucky, you're in the long-term inflation, and if you're unlucky, you're in the long-term deflation? Yes, both. So you need to be prepared to manage both, because in fact, we may have to, multiple personality disorder world, we may have to deal with both. I recently sold some stocks and I'm holding the cash in my E-Trade account to see what will happen in the market. Is this a bad idea? Please listen to the third quarter equity overview. I talk about why you can stay in the market if you run a hedged account. So I would, all my small position I have in equities is hedged. I like in this environment, I like hedged equity because I don't want to take a 35 to 50% down. And so the hedge sort of drags my returns down, but it protects me from a big down. Anyway, we go into that in detail in the third quarter equity overview. I'd recommend you listen to it. I do think holding, if you're going to hold your cash, I would hold it in a insured deposits. And, I'd rather have it in a depository institution than a brokerage account if I'm just sitting around in cash, because you're not covered with SIPC. Now you can buy brokered insurance deposits in a brokerage account, so you can do that too. Hi, Catherine. I'm trying my best to stay coherent. I've been trying to find a payment processor for payments on my business website that is not PayPal or Stripe. It's tough to do. We've been working off and on for many years to try and come up with alternatives, and we're working on another round of alternatives now, but it's really hard. There are more and more, and we use Foxycart, who I recommend. And if you go to foxy.io and look at all their potential other payment processors, they'll give you a wide selection of alternatives. So you might want to check them out. Do you have any suggestions? There are plenty of other people, but it's going to take a lot of time to sort of figure out who fits you and how to find them. I would persevere because I think we're going to need alternatives other than these. Dear Catherine, I just found out about you through a couple of interviews. I would appreciate if you could email me letting know if there's a way you could do consultations. I don't do consultations, I'm sorry. Depends on what the topic is, but again, I would encourage if it's related to investment, I would encourage you to listen to the equity overviews and then send questions. Catherine, thank you for alerting me to the strategy to unearth and punish corruption. And then you talk about how nothing's ever changed, and now the United States has published this Countering Corruption. John Titus and I talk about it in Money and Market. This is more of the control and concentration of cash flow. So there's two things that they want to control. They want to control all the land and real estate, and they want to stop any leakage outside their digital concentration camp. And that's what this is about. But of course, you already know that. But thanks for the link. Dear Catherine, as a drive to implement force injection, so somebody's talking about, how much force do they go to? And are we going to find ourselves in a position where we have to defend ourselves for our lives? The answer is anything could happen. And each one of us has to make a decision as to what you're willing to do to not comply. So, I'm not going to comply no matter what. And I think it's an individual question what you decide to do. I would say this. It's better if you're not alone. So I always tell the story during the swine flu mandates when we thought they were going to try and get the states to mandate the swine flu vaccination. I called Franklin Sanders and I said, if they mandate this vaccination, then I'm going to have a gunfight. And I'd rather have a gunfight with you. I'd rather not be alone when I have the gunfight. So can I get my guns and come over to your place? And he said, oh yeah, you come over, you bring your guns, we're gonna have a big old gunfight. It's pretty funny. And it was a great feeling to know I had that option. Anyway, so I would recommend whatever you decide to do, get a team or a community together who can do it together. I think you'll It's what I said earlier. It's in the movies. Death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back. But if you look at what's working, the things that stop the mandate is a refusal to comply. Employees walking out, and people are beginning to learn, oh, if enough people say, just say no, can't do it. So can't burn down the whole planet. IMF article urges comprehensive international standards for digital assets. Gee, wonder whose standards raising concern that the uncoordinated regulatory response will be systematically destabilizing. IMF says cryptization is a risk in emerging markets where crypto is replacing domestic currency. Yep. I just wrote a little piece on the IMF war games, so I've been looking at them pretty closely. Catherine, so many otherwise smart people actually think cryptocurrencies are A, safe from government confiscation interference, B, transactions are anonymous, actually have more value than fiat currency, C, and D, are ultimate free market asset security. Do they have a blind spot, or are they stupid, or are they paid deep state actors? Recently, the FBI cracked the Bitcoin security in 24 hours. Digital, everything is traceable and traceable. And it's more fiat than fiat currencies. I think it'd be a great way to strip off $4 trillion from the gold bug community. Usually independent people, what am I missing? You know, you and I are on the same page with this. Not because I'm any kind of crypto expert, but because I am an expert at financial regulatory enforcement. I know a lot about financial regulatory enforcement, more than most people will ever know and ever want to know. And I know the speed at which the regulators can throw the trap on any market, including this market. So again, more about that in January. I'm really going to prepare. But please, 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 if you've made a lot of tradable, taxable swaps in crypto, please read this special report we did on if you're a U.S. citizen, taxes and crypto. These transactions are not anonymous. Make sure you have good archives offline of what your transactions are. I don't want you to get set up on this one, and I want you to be able to have your records and protect yourself from loss or confiscation. Please, you're liable for taxes. Please pay your taxes. Don't think you're going to get away from that. And particularly if you have, you know, gains on swaps where you've had you've created a taxable liability, please escrow your taxes in the currency in which you need to pay, not in the crypto, because we could get extremely volatile pricing. If the regulators move in and the price drops a lot, I don't want you to wake up and have a taxable liability that is greater than all your digital assets. But again, my objection is to an all-digital system. And to me, there's no difference between Bitcoin and Visa credit card. They're both. If you go to an all-digital system, no matter what it is, that's the problem. And so my objection is to an all-digital system. Sucking people into an all-digital system by selling them on, one aspect of the digital system being a pathway to freedom, it's not. If we don't have a way of transacting with integrity without digital technology, we will be slaves. It's just that simple. Somebody sent a chart on what inflation looks like. I couldn't tell if it was real estate or total net worth, but there's no doubt that gains on real estate equity have been used to justify that America is in good financial situation, which it's not. Hello, Catherine. Thank you for your tremendous contribution. I have a solo 401k, and my intention is to clean my energy field from companies. I don't know your 401k, but if you can convert to a self-directed entity, and you should be because you're solo, go look at a company like Entrust that does self-directed IRAs and see what options they describe. If you can do a self-directed, you can do real estate, precious metals, you can do private equity. You know, there's a tremendous opportunity to do things. I continue to believe that you can invest in publicly traded companies, and that's what I do. But you know, I'm running a screen and I'm looking at a lot of great companies. So I just don't believe every publicly traded company is a bad guy, even though there's no doubt the regulators are trying to do that with mandates. Anyway, but I would check out what you can do with self-directed, but I would also check out what you can do with carefully screened portfolios that are publicly traded. It's not either or. And you, if you can do self-directed, you ought to be able to do a combination of different things. Somebody's asking me about a term policy. My elderly husband has a term policy. The payments are getting ridiculously high. What should I do? I don't know. I need to know a lot more about the company and the policy and what the payments are relative to your assets. But one thing I will say, I would check with them if they're going to pay out if your husband dies of COVID, because I think most insurance companies are respecting the policy in the event of COVID. So I think you're wrong that there will be no payout, but obviously there's no reason not to call them and check on all of that. And I would point out, we just talked in Money and Markets about anybody with a vitamin D level above a certain level, no one's ever died of COVID from if they have a vitamin D level. So it's beginning to look like part of COVID deaths are vitamin D insufficiency. Anyway, so it's great you're practicing all that healthy immune system stuff. Keep doing it. But the one thing I would do is check to make sure that it'll pay in the event of death of COVID, and I would expect that it does. I'm a 70-year-old divorced woman. With everything I have heard about what is going to happen, banks crashing, dollar depreciating, I'm terrified. Okay, so nobody ever attracted a good solution if they're in a fear. So you sold your stocks and now I don't know where to put my life savings. What I would do is I would listen to the last three equity overviews and the one we do in January. And I would do that first. So I would take a deep breath and proceed. So somebody, you also sent in something about the SEC rules on money markets. I'm thinking about buying gold and silver with a third keeping, a third in cash. And I've just heard from a friend about private banking strategies. I would be careful about private banking strategies. Just do incredible due diligence where you are your own bank through whole life insurance. I would make sure, again, insurance, make sure you're doing business with an exceptionally high credit rating insurance company is the only thing I can say, but I'm a skeptic. I've found a lot of insurance strategies are just giving you false sense of security, and you're better off owning the assets and dealing with the risk yourself. I do believe, you know, I like gold and silver, and I also keep cash. So I think gold and silver and cash are prudent. Whether or not in a period of inflation you want to hold that much in cash depends on where you hold it in a safe place. You might want to take a look at, I think it's in 2015 wrap up, which is a little bit out of date, but you'll get some ideas from it where to stash your cash. Hi, Catherine. I'm trying to determine if this letter is real or not, so I wrote you a long detailed response. I don't think it's real. I'm trying to find a way to organize and track this information. Oh, so this is somebody who's keeping track of who's adopting vaccine passports, and I put you in touch with our staff, and we're working on seeing if we can't do something that maps it out. I think this is a great idea. When we get it published, we're going to invite everybody to send in their information. Hi, Catherine. I'm a subscriber. I'm a PhD student at a major US university, no vaccine mandate, but I'm required to get one in compliance with the federal contracts. There's just been several court decisions on federal contractors, and I think the courts have overruled they can't mandate for federal contractors. You want to know whether to exercise a religious exemption. If you think that would work, I would certainly do it. But I think you should be okay now with the court decisions. What I would do is I would spend some time making sure you know whether for federal contracting or for the university, if you needed to elect a religious exemption, how would you do it? So that's a pretty significant educational curve. So I would start working on it now, because you have no idea which way this is going to come. Dear Catherine, before too long, European countries are going to be mandating vaccines and issuing fines for noncompliance. This is illegal, however, can't be ignored. Could you lay out a customizable reply to fines as they arrive that puts the onus on the issuer to prove that their requirement complies with international law? That's a potential form that might make sense. So I'll sort of consider that and talk to a variety of allies. I think part of it is it's hard to respond until you know exactly which way they go. And the EU has said they're planning on doing something at the end of February. So what our indications are. So that's a good one, because if enough of us, if you bollocks up the courts and again, we're just going to have to non-comply. Nobody ever ended tyranny through compliance. You have to non-comply. Hi, Catherine. Really good to see your interviews about the financial coup of Mr. Global. I have the possibility to sell the rest of my shares from the company by the end of the year. The other amount of shares is owned by private equity. Because of the current inflation or coming deflation, I have some questions. What would you expect? More inflation in the EU? What could be inflation proof? I expect more inflation. Nothing is inflation proof other than owning the one of the central banks and having them print money for you. Cyber attack and new push to basic income and CBDC. I refuse to work with the EID system, so maybe I should also disconnect from the grid. Well, that's the question. Are we going to have to, whether banking services and electricity, are we going to have to go parallel? I suspect, the chances are we are. So should I stay a shareholder or create cash and mix invest in property, stock, gold, or a sailboat? Okay, your guess is as good as mine. Because when the rule of law goes, everything goes except what you can protect with a gun. So the sailboat might not be a bad idea. Do you stay in shares in a company? You have to decide. I'm a squirrel. I believe in some here, some here, some here, some here, some here. You're hoping some of the players on the chessboard get through to the other side is what your goal is. And the goal of this is to protect you. So I try many things. What are the risks with buying and holding Bitcoin as a store of value over Federal Reserve notes? Bitcoin is going to zero. If so, how? There are scenarios when both of them go to zero. Again, I'll talk more about crypto in January, but essentially, if the regulators decide to throw the trap and apply existing financial regulation to the crypto market, they can bring it down in price or even to zero pretty quickly. Will they do that? I don't know. But if you look at, I talk on Money and Markets this week with John Titus about what they're up to on in Australia. I just think you have to be prepared for a significant both increase or decrease in 2022 on crypto, because I don't think the pump is over. Now, I could be wrong about that because the chances of it being over are rising. But you're looking at a highly illiquid market and the price can run up a lot, up or down. And if the regulators move the way they're moving in Australia, the price is, in my opinion, is, there's going to be huge downward pressure on price. But remember, the inflation of the money printing is going to run it up too. So there's no doubt that the central bankers have wanted to bring as much money into crypto as possible because it sucked a lot of money out of precious metals and land and real assets. And it's given them a much longer runway to grab and control all the real assets. There's somebody's asking about what questions to use at Christmas to sort of get people out of the trance about the injections. The questions I would, and the pandemic, the question I would ask is, why can't we know what's in this stuff? What are the secret ingredients? Given that there are secret ingredients, why do the manufacturers get complete liability and get to pretend this is a vaccine when it's not? It's an experimental gene therapy. So, and then why are so many people at the top getting richer and richer and richer as a result of this? And why is it that the vaccine passports are run by the financial people and the banks instead of by the health ministries? And why is it the central bankers are the one pushing to get the secret ingredients into our veins? So, and then why, if there's zero chance of death from COVID and zero chance of death if you have acceptable levels of vitamin D, why are they insisting on giving injections to people who already have immunity from having had COVID and not dying, or from children who have zero chance of dying, or people with high levels of vitamin D who have zero chance of dying? Why would you give a vaccine that kills people? And if they don't believe you, take them into the Vigi Access database at WHO and show them all the adverse events and deaths. Anyway, so that's a great example. And remember, historically, only 1 to 10% go to into databases like FAERS and Vigi Access. So those are some of the questions. And I think using the question meme is a great idea. Somebody sent me a big dump on WikiLeaks. Thank you for doing that. And you're based in New Zealand, and they're just getting worse. It's so sad to see what's happened in New Zealand. I don't know. If I lived in New Zealand, I would definitely want to send Jacinta to the moon or back to the moon, wherever she came from. Dear Catherine, as loyal subscribers, we're grateful for the resources. Our daughter has been sanctioned and put on probation for refusing to consent to mandated tests. That's good. I think the tests are dangerous. I really do. So the question is, she could get thrown out of the university. Should she do it? Yes. I just think you can't consent to something that is this potentially dangerous to your mind, your health, and your spiritual integrity. So, but I would absolutely find a good lawyer and spend whatever money I had to do to keep her in and help her graduate. So I think you got to find a good lawyer and spend the money to figure out how to get them, make it so painful that they'll let her graduate. Then something on, have God's chosen people been chosen for extinction? It's a link on Israel. There's no doubt Israel is just going through a horrific time. Somebody sent, oh, amid the humor, there is an important observation. If the future is personalized vaccines, you will need an app passport to screen every in-person human contact. For now, semi-random combinations can achieve a similar effect. I just saw somebody new article on they have vaccines you can spray, so you can walk up to a kid and just spray them. Unbelievable. An interesting blog commentating what if the situation is so acute that compulsory vaccination in Australia won't go into effect until February or next year rather than now. Very interesting. You wonder what this is really about. It's a reminder, don't comply. My understanding is a huge number of people in Austria are not complying and fighting back. Okay, then there's feedback. Someone is doing a prayer group every Monday, 11 a.m. for a minute. 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's no dial-in. You just stop and pray where you are. This is a great subscriber, a great thing to do. So keep that in mind. Doctors are fired. They need legal help. You're going to have to find somebody in your jurisdiction. The American Frontline Doctors and Health Freedom Defense are recommending local attorneys. So if you have a local chapter of Children's Health Defense, see if they can recommend any of the local attorneys. The attorneys willing to take this on are clearly overwhelmed. Now, given the recent judicial systems, I think they might have to get unfired because the judicial systems have sort of wiped out all the healthcare mandates. One thing that's good is the doctors have to leave, the doctors and nurses leave because of the mandates. They're telling all, and that's good. Hi, Catherine. Let's see. Talking about the danger of the spiritual forces and occult forces sort of mind controlling people. And that's definitely possible, but I think mechanical electronic mind control has a lot to do with it too. I think the interdimensional forces of evil are very present and very dangerous. So I agree with that. Hi, Catherine. I'm a fan of CHD and Robert Kennedy. Is not engaging on does the virus exist or not? And this is a debate that I don't spend any time on. I think COVID-19 is a highly complex phenomena that combines many things that are part of the great poisoning. And I just think, but it's real. People get sick. The great poisoning is really sickening people. And I think we could lose a huge amount of time debating whether the germ theory is right or not. And it's not that it's not useful, but if you're trying to stop the mandates and vaccine passports, I think it could waste a huge amount of time and cause our team to fail. So I don't spend any time on it. Somebody is working on as an EMF consultant is interested in what I'm talking about electric fields. I would strongly recommend you read you look at all the future science presentations, particularly wave genome, but I'd look at all of them, and then I would read The Field by Lynn McTaggart, listen to our interviews with Lynn McTaggart and our interview with William Tiller. And then I would dive into the work of Rupert Sheldrake. And I would start there and look at the IMF, look at my book review of Invisible Rainbow and read that too. So, Ulrich Groniger, Tiller, McTaggart, and Rupert Sheldrake, and then read Invisible Rainbow. And you'll start to integrate other aspects of sort of invisible reality with what you're doing. And I think it would be unbelievably productive and useful. So, and God bless you for helping people with EMF radiation. It's such an important thing to do. Hello, Catherine. Apologies for bombarding So there was something on our Telegram channel on Swiss referendum fraud that was deleted. I deleted it. I had posted it and then I deleted it because I just think there wasn't enough hard evidence. Also, remember you were talking about the pandemic losing steam, and it's clear that it does. But at the same time, we see vaccine mandates coming out and an intense Omicron campaign being pushed down. So I was wondering, do you think it's losing steam universally or only for those who are actively resisting it? It's definitely losing steam. And I think that's why, you know, they're going to come up with more and more centralizing tactics, whether they're through the pandemic or other things. But I think people have really had it with the lies and their time being wasted. Hi, Catherine. You said you stopped and interviewed Wim Hof. I have to tell you, saved my life again. So you discovered Weston Price through us and now Wim Hof. And the interview with Wim Hof goes up today. You have to watch it. It's so fantastic. It's just unbelievably fantastic. You have to watch it. Anyway, so I'm delighted to hear that feedback because I just think Wim Hof can help so many people. Okay, a question about Michael Tellinger and One Small Town. You know, I think there's a lot we can do in local areas, but we're up against a global force, and that means the local areas are going to have to be networked and pushed back together. And you're talking about doing it with all volunteer time. I'm a skeptic. I think we need to. I haven't found volunteer time works very well. It can, you know, for certain things, but you need a real infrastructure of people being professionally paid and supported to make the volunteerism work. Florida, at my level, is looking like one of several safe haven states, but how does DeSantis allow to do it? My guess is you got a lot of mob money in Florida, and my guess is he's got their support, and they're very politically powerful. So, you know, God bless free market entrepreneurship. The only way I can describe it. Dear Catherine, you and your team are doing a fabulous job, and we are blessed with sharing. Questions regarding Europe. So, you've been on the move. I think your plan with a motorhome is a great one. Freedom, you know, movement is life. And we don't know which way this is going to go. We'll see. We're going to have a real fight about mandates at the end of February. And we'll see what happens. Anyway, if the pushback can rise and get done what it's getting done in the United States, it would be great. A question about Nacera. Nacera's a proposal, I think, that has a lot of good ideas, but the idea that there's some kind of movement that's making it happen behind the scenes, I don't see it. I think you have to deal with the overt system. I just don't see any sort of magical covert team, you know, fixing things. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the pep talk to artists in your recent video wrap-up with Farrell. I've been trying to come up with a way to low-tech monkey wrench the system. So you're coming up with these memes. This is great. Handing out dollar bills with messages on it. It's sort of fake money. That's great. Just make sure you're under the counterfeiting laws. You can't get nabbed on counterfeiting. So you have to make sure you know where the line is. But I think that's a great idea. Then somebody says, I was wondering what you thought of this email below. It's an email from EasyPass offering to let you use this to buy your gas. Don't do it. Don't do it. I wouldn't have an EasyPass. I would do anything to stay out of that system. Going direct reset. Hi, I've been listening. So you're thinking of making a loan to a trustworthy Christian? You know, I think that's a good idea. You just want to make sure you have a good attorney who makes sure you have very good collateral lien. So you want to make sure you have a tight lien. So I think it's a great idea. Yes, it has risk. All things have risk. Make sure you have an attorney represent you and you get a really tight lien on your mortgage. Local gatherings. You're interested in doing a circle. I think this is a great idea. I'll turn this over to Sue Ling, who runs our Solari circles, and make sure she gets in touch with you. Then we got a whole bunch of recommended links, great ideas, great heads up. Check out the links if you're interested. They're going to be in the last section. I'm just going through them now. Take action. We've got a very exciting new format for news, trends, and stories, and it's all going to be organized under Take Action because 2022 is the year we have to not comply and we have to take action. And so please check out the reflections. video that comes. We'll have it up by Monday. And we've got this great new Wim Hof interview I really want you guys to listen to. Check out the holiday greeting and the gift ideas if you're looking for more ideas for Christmas. And again, thank you for a great year. And thank you for everything you do to support us and the Soleri team and our efforts to build an intelligence network and live a free and inspired life. I can't tell you how grateful we all are all to work for you. And so with that, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I'll see you in Ask Catherine in 2022 in January. And again, don't worry about whether there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.